there standing because I couldn't get to the bathroom.
Well, dude, it was so bad I made it. I just threw my way over here. Now I just can't really sell our normal place.
Yeah.
Surrounded by Tony's toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're saving money up for San Diego Comic Con 2016.
But when there might be comics in there.
No. They'll come back. They'll come back, baby.
Yeah. So, hey, welcome. This is Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast, where we talk about comics and conventions. And
no, no.
What, we don't. Okay.
You're being contrary. Yes. It's a contrary convention. we actually have some convention news to talk about.
Oh, we're here.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We're looking at the halls right now. The hallway.
It's amazing, like how good we manage the soundproof our booth. You can't hear any of that background noise at all.
Dude, we got new connector pieces for our mic, so. Joss Whedon's going to come in a little bit later on with Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, you don't have to say last name. It's just our buddy Joss.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Joss.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf. One quick note, Off the Shelf is brought to you, once again, by GrandCon, which, yes, not San Diego, but still going to be awesome. And
it's got Grand in the title. I think that makes it better.
I think it does because it's Grand is way better than Stan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that does mean Saint. Never mind. Moving around.
Yeah, but this is going to be at Calvin College.
That's true. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Convention Center at Calvin College.
San Diego does mean it whales vagina. So.
Yeah. So,
sorry. Thank you for taking us on that trip there.
That's for Waker Boot.
Oh, no.
You can check them out at grand-con.com. Happening September 20th through the 22nd at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Also, just a little note, if you haven't checked them out, part of the proceeds out of every ticket goes to the Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. So, you're helping out a lot of sick kids. So, don't be an ass and just come and make some money.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, here's warning about Off the Shelf, though. We're talking about books that come out, that came out this week, so there could be spoilers.
Yep, there's spoilers, just like Kate Middleton's unborn child is going to be spoiled as the next in line for the British throne. Well, not next in line, but, you know, down the line.
Will he even make it to the throne?
Maybe when he's, like, 84 years old, he might.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, but that's also the wrong use of the word spoil, but, you know, they're spelled the same. All right.
I'm curious.
So are you guys on pizza watch?
Are you even here?
No. That's the correct answer. I was like,
yeah. I actually didn't tell Matt, so then I was like, oh, yeah.
She hasn't had her baby.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. I didn't report to my
other great gateway. I've learned that for a while. All right, we'll be there.
He just came up with that.
I don't know the stupid news. Every single station will call it that. And one person gets a clever phrase and then I'll use it.
I can't say a phrase.
I hate the news.
I can't wait though until Kate and her baby are seen canoodling.
Will and Kate plus 8 is the royal family. Alright, come on, let's talk about comic books.
I'm going to
kick it off with some death by covering Thanos Rising number 4 written by Jason Aaron. Beautiful art by Simone Bianchi and colors by Simone Bianchi and Richard Perucini. Ricardo. Hey, Ricardo's awesome. And colors by Iva Sorcina. Alright, anyways, it's my standard butchering of artist name. I still respect their work. This is still gorgeous. The story is still real cool. As it's going back into the history of Thanos and how he became to be the mad type.
Which number is this one?
This is number 4. Okay. So it's the penultimate issue. There's one more after this. And
he uses big words.
Yeah. So Thanos has been going around murdering because his girlfriend, you know, that girl that he met when he was a little kid, and the only girl he's ever loved, keeps telling him to murder people. I don't know who she could be. Oh, wait, she's Death.
Oh.
Sorry, that's a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And those are could she be Beth? Because Beth is not supposed to speak at all. That's like one of the big things through the comics is like Beth never said a word to Thanos. But it kind of makes sense that this is like her flirting with him and getting him to be so in love with her. And then at the end, she like drops the disguise. Thanos doesn't know that he's just seeing someone imaginary. He actually tells his pirates to get that woman, and they're like, sir, who are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, I sent one of the people on this planet and I destroyed everyone except for this one person. Can't go in there and tell her what.
Asgard's not killed enough people yet. And he goes in there, and there's just this dead corpse on Thanos' bed. And you're like, Thanos, who have you been spending the night with?
But then she reveals that she's no one else can see her. They all think that he's mad, talking to himself, that he's been dragging dead corpses into his like room, that he's just been...
He's just batshit crazy.
That he's the mad titan.
Exactly. Well, this is... Yeah, I think that's a really excellent way of bringing in that title and showing how he really got to everyone to think him crazy, even though he's, like, freaking genius. So, anyways, good story. Still continuing on, and he's going home. He's going to go destroy the moon of Titan. Right? So
he has sex with death.
No, he has sex with corpses, I think.
Oh, right.
And the thing is he loves death, and she won't touch him, she won't kiss him, she won't be his lover. And this is a love story, man. It's a love story. We better death in it than Romeo and Juliet. So
alright, next to feel like I see what you're
grab. Yes. Next.
Kevin.
Oh my gosh, it's my time. So I'm prepared. I brought
some props for the comic book itself.
You know, this is an audio only podcast.
Well, that's why I got to add some sound effects.
Right.
I do remember this.
Well, yeah, because I'm 903.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. But I'm going to ask a question, and then I'll get to the review.
sense of them drawn into it with an exact facial duplication. Like, so for pushing the button,
yeah, absolutely.
So the book is, again, back in TV series of old, puns, action, ridiculousness. It's just so very wonderful. This particular issue features the Riddler. One of my favorite things about Riddler episodes was...
Oh, let me guess. It's a riddle. What's your favorite? What's Adam's favorite thing about the Riddler?
But I don't know. Well, particularly the riddles that he gives are so out there and vague. And then you find whoever's trying to solve the riddle, trying to piece together what the riddle means. If I were to say the farmer speaks at dusk, somehow you could translate that to mean that a prize marmoset is somewhere in the Atlantic.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Pacific, but okay, it makes sense.
Cholesterol. outside, and she goes, "You were always in love with me. I was the part that you were in love with."
So the cliffhanger hangs on the last issue, ends with, like, Betsy and Cluster making out.
Yeah. And then this one, Phantom X is going up to the room, and he's like, "You know, the door is still closed. You know, can I come in? You guys been in there for a week." And then it flips to the page, and you've got Phantom X, or I'm sorry, Cluster, and Betsy just, you know, butt naked in the bed.
In the sheets.
And they've just been spending a week.
I think they had a pillow fight.
I think so. But there's some very, very interesting, dialogue in here.
Strategically placed sheets.
Yes, yeah. And it was, I was surprised, especially in this day and age where everybody's like going, "Oh, we have this gay character, we have this gay character. Well, this gay character's getting married. Well, this gay character is transsexual." Oh, they don't even bother saying that. They're just like, yeah. You know, and I like what they did with it because it wasn't, we don't have to make a big show about it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Honestly, it just kind of felt to me like normal. They've got a weird relationship that not everyone's going to agree with, but it's working for them. So,
how did that work? I don't know, Marvel puts a rating on it for me. Is this their team plus, or is it mature?
This one, this is parental advisory.
Really? They have someone to put on now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you got to look at the Thanos rated T plus. I don't know what probably is self done.
Yeah,
I
mean,
DC does it too, Team Plus. Here, I just look at those scenes and go, I think they're hot. I don't know if I'm just thinking like,
yeah, you're probably kind of struggling if you were in high school reading this in between classes.
Maybe. Yeah, it's kind of a PG-13, but. There's stuff that's alluded, but there, you don't see anything.
No.
Described or anything like that, you know, which...
I think we're trying to rate this one. We're definitely not a... We're an R show.
Yeah. The one kid sitting there going, "Well, I'm glad those guys told me I was about to take those two in the eye. I'm going to have to pass on the police school." But, and so...
So like, "Well, I'm really glad I didn't let my third grader bring that for me."
Yeah,
show and tell.
But this book is basically about Betsy trying to make decisions of, you know, who she's in love with, which version she's in love with, the fact that she's stealing, how much of this misdirection is going on from which version of these three people, you know, and the fact that Weapon 13 has captured her and is trying to win her over and woo her, if you will. And you see in here Phantom X and Cluster kissing, and she sees it and she's pissed, you know, because she feels like they played her.
I almost feel like that's the weirdest part, because seeing a person make out with a female clone version of themselves.
Yeah, well, that was the very first issue of this thing.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing. You know, and so now she's saying at the end that she wants to kill Phantom X. She's killing Weapon 13.
Holy Wizard of Oz, man. That's a twister.
Yeah. you have a whole lot of tokens just sitting on your computer in front of you, I bet.
No, that one lives.
Yeah, that's
first rate.
Anyway. The story is very, very well done.
She said that she's going to sleep with the bad one right after she kills Phantom X. Like, she went from regular Phantom X to Cluster to evil Phantom X. How do you feel your favorite character is a whore from Warhound?
I don't know. I mean, I
think that in Derek's imaginary world, he thinks he has better chances now.
It's going to be one less. Actually, my favorite part of this book was that it was just a giant clusterfuck.
That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I really want the next issue to start with Weapon 13 going, "That's very cool of you to kill Phantom X, except that I know that that's your player, that once you see him, you'll try to free him. So I'm going to just kill him when you don't get to see him."
My whole thing is, the cluster of Phantom X making out and everything else, it's hard to tell how much of what you're showing you is misdirection.
That's true.
So it's kind of interesting.
I am curious if they're exploring the storyline, because I think Vadimax is a really interesting character, but I think he's less interesting now being split into three, where if you now had to put all three of them back in the same person after all of this stuff has happened, that it could make for a more dynamic character. But
yeah, it could make for a really fat person if you had to stuff all three of them in one.
I'm just glad he's not dead.
Yeah,
I thought he was. I'm glad that you're starting to like him too.
I
if Betsy likes him, then he's okay by day.
No. Well, he needs to die. Because I need to have another shot.
Alright, tell me what you got.
Just gonna pick something randomly out of this pile. So,
please, number one.
Again. Just because it's something completely different. Superior Carnage number one.
How is that different?
Swissnerds, the number one. Swissnerds, the number one. Like, a bunch of months ago.
Yeah, that's
the number one. This is superior.
The first superior maximum carnage.
Minimum maximum. I'm still waiting for moderate carnage.
Anyways, superior carnage comes off of the tail. Was maximum? No, it was minimum.
It was minimum. Or he,
yeah. Can't remember which
one. Actually got the bottom line.
The thing I love about the carnage titles is that they know that they can't just have this character loose in the Marvel Universe all the time. So they've been doing these things sporadically, like once a year, telling like a five-part story of Carnage and what he's up to nowadays, instead of just having him be that villain that got away from Spider-Man. Because this guy, these are pretty graphic when you're reading them. Like, there are people just dying in good and pretty gruesome. And so you can't just have a creature like that not be killed.
Well, he's actually a crazy killer, and so he's not going to sit around and plotting his next thing. So months he's been plotting this. He's just going to keep killing and killing and killing until somebody stops him.
And in the last little mini-series, Scarlet Spider-Man pretty much kind of realized that and automized
Cassidy.
So we have a Carnage who pretty much is human symbiote, doesn't have a brain. And what you realize is that human side of Carnage actually was preventing him from being just a total animal. We have the Wizard. This is the one thing I do enjoy about this book in particular, is you're trying to figure out who's pulling the strings, who is breaking up Carnage, and you find out it's the Wizard. And what we talked about a couple of months ago in Fantastic Four, his Wizard was locked in jail. His son, clone Bentley, he tried to talk to him and get him to come to the evil side, and Bentley kind of set down the
chicken and nuts is what he did.
That was awesome. I like that he still, that's kind of his main goal now, is to have his son become an evil genius with him. So he's trying to reform the fight before. I like when he's starting to talk about that, and he just gets cut off.
One of the guards, he's got prison, it's like, yeah, have you tried that before, like, 6, 7, 8 different times?
So, ultimately, though, he realizes that when he's trying to control Carnage, that Carnage doesn't have a brain to be controlled.
Yeah, he's using mind control.
So, with that, you see the Wizard then pretty much being the death beat, and he's like, no, you are going to be my ultimate, you know, weapon. And now you're thinking the Wizard is going to die. Well, then you find out that he also, that's actually pretty fucking sweet, this page.
That is, that's the whole page, right?
Is there an AR on that? I believe so. But he's got the claw.
The claw.
The claw.
Oh, and he has sonic powers.
Yes.
Which, as you know, symbionts are vulnerable to sonic energy, so he basically blasts Carnage into unconsciousness.
Ultimately, I don't know where this book is going, because, like I said, it's part of the Superior Month. That they have going on with all the Spider-Man characters. I don't know if Superior Spider-Man is actually going to come in to Carnage, because the last couple rendezvous, they've mainly been Venom and Scarlet Spider-Man. I'm guessing maybe he might, which will be kind of cool to see how Peter goes against Carnage and how he might be able to
I was waiting for you to finish. I have a once again brought to you by Grand Con. Go check them out, grandedgecon.com. Say that he does not want this.
you know, maybe there are some critics out there who are like, oh, it could have been closer to the book, or, you know, crap like that.
But there was, you know, I mean, like, if you really want to get in on the ins and outs of that movie, there were a lot of things that were actually much closer to the book that they did remove. But the reason that they removed them was primarily out of respect for Brandon Lee, because they thought that it was in poor taste to show it, like, the scenes of him, like, basically being in this limbo hell type place, talking to the skeleton cowboy and having to crawl out of the, you know, crawl up and through. They just thought that that was not appropriate to think of him having to be in that kind of torment.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why they took that scene out.
So, anyway, I probably will end up seeing it.
Oh, I know. I'll end up seeing it and I will.
It's just a teaser post.
Well, yeah, but they're saying that that principal photography is already started. Which, I don't know, I never understand that. Like, what are you doing? You're just going to shoot, like, you know, background scenes and stuff like that. That's just stock footage.
Eric, you should go down to their panel down the hall.
Oh, I was down there. They escorted me out. So that was my big one there. What else do you guys got?
Well, as it was, Steve Hulk is going to time travel for some reason. What do you mean, for some reason? What is everyone doing in the Marvel Universe? I know that that's one thing where I'm just like, really, they're just going to say a headline in the title, Agent of Time, but ultimately, ever since Ultron, time is fucked up in the Marvel world, so who better to send through time than in Bruce Banner to try to fix it?
Wait, you mean the Hulk? Because he's so good at fixing things, right?
That's the problem. He's so gentle. He's got to smash time back in place. Yeah. So, I can see that happening.
Yeah. There was a great article that somebody sent me about, like, the 20 most stupid superhero vehicles. Yeah. And sending Hulk through space makes as much sense as the Hulk copter.
Because I haven't seen that happen in 70s sometime.
Yeah. 70s or 80s. You know, the Hulk copter. That's a good one.
Why the fuck is it in 52 still? I will not stop being pissed off about
just
that.
The normal 52.
There's a writer's block of what else to call it.
Well,
what DC, but people keep calling it the new 52 panel that they have. It's like, wasn't this the DC panel? Like,
one of their booths is just kitty corn from where it's just
going. I know, they already escorted me out.
Stories and they like it and then cool, but yeah, I mean, to already
So it could be a good read. I don't know if there's really anything else that they can kind of reveal.
They can change what his name is again.
James Howlett.
Yeah.
I would be more interested to see why his mom had all those scars on her back. I know it's to hint that him and Sabretooth are brothers, because right before his mom shoots herself, she goes, "No, not him too, or not again," and then she shoots herself. And I'm like, "What do you mean not again?" Answer that question. I was really intrigued. They hint at Sabretooth being a brother, but they don't actually ever do it. Besides, why can't they just DNA test the two of them? Yeah, you can have Murray Polish show up and say, "You are a brother." I thought you meant a new Wolverine origin movie too, and that's why I was really about ready to throw my coffee over your computer, so that the world would never hear.
Some more comic book news is actually I'm excited for another Archie title. Another one, and Kevin Miller with a title like that series, Afterlife with Archie. When I talk about Archie and after the world, afterlife being like after the world dies and there's zombies everywhere.
I thought you meant that Archie, we're going to see Archie burning in Eternal Damnation for all the sins.
That's going to be the road after the Archie movie.
Okay.
I actually completely forgot about this until now, but this weekend is with the premiere of Axe Cop.
They're doing that. I think that more of a tribute to Liquid Television and TV on Fox Late Night.
Yeah. And then there's also something like Teen Life or something that looks like a total ripoff of Archie animation.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's on Fox too.
Yeah.
Is it on that same program?
I think so. Yeah. I'll have to look it up here. In just a second while you guys talk about something, I'll listen to what you're saying. But this came out from Bleacher Report that there was a...
You're reading Bleacher Report?
That's when he always came by.
Okay.
Kickboxer turned mixed martial artist turned actress. One by the name of Jada Carano.
Go ahead. She's better than that.
Yeah. She had a bit part, I guess, in Fast and Furious 6, and she was in some other action movie, I don't remember what it was. Apparently she signed on to play Evangeline, the character created by Rob Liefeld back in the 90s, Image, which, if I remember correctly, Evangeline was like a fallen angel kind of thing that, she shows up. But this is, I have to read this, word for word, because this was one of the funniest things I've ever seen written. While Carano is, for the most part, remembered favorably by MMA fans, eventually is widely panned by comic book aficionados. Created in 1995 by Rob Liefeld, an artist who is largely blackballed in the comic industry these days, Evangeline is remembered as a generic story that served as a flimsy stage for a scantily clad heroine. I was just like, okay, wow. The thing that surprised me most about this, I don't know why it did, it shouldn't have, is that reportedly the script is being, they say, retooled by Rob Liefeld and Gina Carano. I'm like, okay, so
it's to write her own part.
Yeah, so that's going to be straight to Netflix.
Dude, since you brought up Bleacher Report, I wanted to take 1 minute and blast that's one in the sports industry. I remember I just had it up, but Janine Edwards, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, and they had a superhero conversation, and she says fucking Joker is not a supervillain, and Batman is not a superhero.
Because she
has no opinion. Because power, because they don't have powers, but it isn't. Yes, Batman's original power was called Gizmo, and the fact that he had any gadget technology that he needed, like shark repellent, also having more money than the Catholic Church constitutes a superpower. You have more money than
above average human ability.
So the Joker has, they've described it as a,
and he said all stimulation, and is super genius, and so that sometimes he's a jokester, he just wants to play pranks, and then sometimes he's a cold-blooded killer.
So he wants to cut people's faces off.
Yeah, so he's got a
yeah. Yeah. So he's in upon the Joker.
Yes.
Something I'm really excited about. I came into the choir, the Robot Tech franchise, and to start off with the comic books, they are going to have a crossover with Voltron.
Robot Tech and Voltron?
Yes. That's
I got so excited when I saw Kevin's little description of this article that he said, because I thought it was going to be the crossover from, you know, Voltron, Robotech, and Bob's Burgers. Because the way that was written down there, I was like, Bob's Burgers is going to have Voltron and Robotech. That is fucking awesome.
That actually watched that show.
Well, I love that show.
Bob's Burgers is brilliant writing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Animation is what it is, but whatever.
Yeah.
They kind of summed up that line. Family Guy is going to Springfield to visit the Simpsons sometime next year, if they agree.
Yep.
Pretty much Peter and Homer are going to talk about beers. Lisa's going to try to find out what Meg's good at. Stewie is like kind of just being off Bart and his pranks.
Why wouldn't Stewie hang out with Maggie?
Because Stewie probably will, but because Stewie is the evil one, so he's probably like his partner when they grow up to be like him. But I like how pretty much the Simpsons are going to befriend their albino visitors. So that's it. What's cool about this? All the pretty much voice actors, everyone is going over to Family Guy to do actual voice work.
So this is like a true
crossing of the
chest.
One other quick one. Let me speak about Phantom X Wing with us in there. He's getting the Max treatment. He's going to be in Marvel Max issues. So it's weird that they're taking a character that not a lot of people know and actually giving him his first solo title in the Max line.
There's a Marvel Max.
There's Marvel now.
The Marvel Max are usually the more adult ones, like Punisher Max has a lot.
I'm sure there's a Deadpool and there was a Wolverine.
Yeah.
A little more.
Well, that's supposed to be Max.
everything else. But that's the last of my news. Was there any other?
There's a shit ton, but I have to save it for another day. So let's do a new turn one.
Thank you.
got some good colors. Her eyes look like she's going to murder you. And that's red zone here for you.
Small drive over here.
I want to see you haven't suggested anything else yet.
Weak.
Weak.
Fuck you, man. Archie needs me.
I really like the cover of The Thing and Fantastic Four, number 10. The Thing is punching Benjamin Franklin in the face, but it turns out he's a Skrull. That was kind of cool, not only for historical reasons. So I'm going to mention it.
All right. Upstand.
So, 2-4 wins it. Red Sonja does.
That's not a priority.
News of the Book this week is brought to you by Inter Comics. It's inter-comics.com. Go check them out online. UK-based comic book readout, but they ship worldwide. They also have some awesome blogs and stuff, so go check them out. This week,
Kleenex Batman. This is right up our nose, and we blew it.
That's not even close to you.
No shit, these are from the 60s.
Well, I'm saying not even new for you. You used that like a couple months ago on our own Facebook page for
actually, I think you did.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were drunk at the time.
Yeah. So this week, I have He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number 4 from DC. And I'm pairing this with a Schwartz Spruce Pilsner.
Okay.
And the beer is a strong pale lager, which it's incredibly hoppy for a lager. Not only is it very, well, I think they use the alpha hops, which I don't know what that means, but, you know, they're the first hops of it, but that's all I get. But it's also brewed with Northern Michigan blue spruce tree tips.
Okay.
You know, so they're actually taking the deals. Basically, the reason I pair these together, they're both very clean. They're both earthy. They're crisp, and they're a little sappy. So
I'm going to get those tips in your mouth.
If you have enough of both of them, you'll feel like you have the power.
Yeah, probably.
Once you drink enough of it, you'll get the power.
Power of courage. Like, courage. You're great. You can just say that. You don't have to whisper black.
I didn't know if that's what we're moving on to.
Are we going to get that?
Right
now. I'm pretty sure we are. Are we?
Yeah, I guess we're getting kind of out of time. Okay. Well, the razor said you might have been. That was a close shave.
I think it's more fun trying watching you try to force the segue. Actually, you're in the line.
So I'm going to cover some of your books here real quick. Fantastic Four, number 10. If you like history, this has nothing to do with history. Punched by Franklin, who's a Skrull in the face.
If you like history, you won't like this.
Iron Man number 13, The Secret Origin of Tony Stark with the God Killer Armor. Pretty good. That the mercenary comes back, if you like him. We got all new X-Men. X-Men number 14. Did you hear that?
Yeah, did you like it? Me?
For which one?
All the next one.
I like the Iceman accidentally threw the snowball at real Thor.
Yeah.
Tough shit, you know, for real.
Yeah. There were some pretty good moments in that book. I'm so surprised by it.
Cool. Avengers number 16. Still, the story's good. The art's still gorgeous, and I thought it would work from the artist there. Cable, the X-Force number 11. That was kind of fun, but it seems like a segue issue. Although, we get a real big surprise at the end. Spoiler, Lady Strife. As you may recall, early on, I said, it looks like Strife's the bad guy. I see all the pointy bits and stuff, but it's a Lady Strife. I haven't read that yet. Last two for me.
Spoiler warning.
What if Avengers vs. X-Men issue 2 took a different turn than I expected? And it definitely started to feel like a what if as a different way the story could have gone. I still miss the Watcher, though. And then finally, Thor: God of Thunder, number 10, God Bomb Part 4. Pretty awesome. I think the hero.
to number 14. I went back after my review of 13 to pick up 14. And I actually was surprisingly good. I'm happy I picked that up. Superman Unchained, number 2. And then we have the Dark Knight, Green Hornet, Shadow, the Dark Knights. This is even after one issue, this is shaping up to be a nice little series. I am going to pick this up again.
Is that a original cover? Is that a
Omnibus cover? You'll have to look that up. But that's actually my first introduction to both of these characters. I've never read it. What is Shadow?
Isolate.